I just want to say thank you to Tim and Sandy for their friendship. I was at Faith in 1983 when they showed up, and my first year and my rookie year at Faith and their rookie year as well, and it's been good to renew friendship with them this weekend. I can say without a shadow of a doubt, as we go through life, there's nothing that I wouldn't do for the Capons, and I know that there's nothing that they wouldn't do for me, which is why we go through life doing nothing for each other. Just kidding. I love you folks. I'm excited about your ministry. And also, Phil mentioned this last night. It's great to be back at camp. We spent our first week, I think, in Iowa when we moved here from Michigan at Faith Week here at camp, and got to know a little bit about this ministry. And I think Phil said this last night. Phil Betts spent a lot of time on our couch, and he would actually buy me pizza if he could mow my lawn. That didn't work so well with my children. I'm not sure how I could get them to do that, but it's great to be back, and it's great to see many old friends, some of you that I've known since you were teenagers and doing youth ministry stuff, and it's great to be back. And thank you for putting up with Peggy, too. Just kidding. It's my privilege to be able to travel with her and carry her baggage and then also to share God's word today. I am doing this today because she told me to, but this is a little bit, some pictures of our family. There's three missing, our three newest grandchildren who were born this summer, but this is our family as of last Christmas, and our kids, Christy is in the back middle. Our daughter, Christy, is a missionary in Berlin, Germany. On the right of the picture is our son Todd and his wife Janine, and their son Haddon. Well, he's a lot older than that now, I'll show you. And then off to the left is Travis and his wife Casey, and their two daughters, Lana and Ellie and Haddon. So that's a little bit about our family. This is from this summer in Clark Summit, so you can tell that Haddon and I have had a good time together. And so he just had his second birthday, and so that's our grandson. Here are the twins. Todd and Janine had identical twin boys this summer, and they were early and spent some time in intensive care, but it's a thrill to be able to hold two little Walker boys. And then Finn was also born this summer to Travis and Casey. So it's all, at this stage of our lives, grandparent stage, it's all about grandparents, right? And so we had three grandchildren, three grandsons in 10 days. So that was pretty exciting. There are the twins a couple weeks ago. Peggy says they look like me. And Todd calls them the Sons of Thunder. And they're going to have their hands full, and so are we. We're going to get to see them next week. And then this is Finn. Travis and Casey's little boy, and we got to spend some time with them this summer. So that's a little bit about our family. I'm not going to take a lot of time to give you a commercial, but God has placed us in our ministry at Baptist Bible College and Seminary in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. If you ever get a chance to come out to our campus, we're located in the northeast corner of the state of Pennsylvania. We're right at the end of the northeast extension of the Pennsylvania Turnpike. It ends in Clark Summit, and Interstate 81 goes right through our campus. If you ever get a chance to come see us, please do that. If I'm around, I'll give you the nickel tour, and won't even charge you the nickel. God is doing some great things at Baptist Bible College, and we're very thankful. I serve as Vice President of Communications and External Relations at BBC, and that's where I went as a student. That's where Peggy and I met. She was an Iowa girl, and we met there at BBC, and then all of our children went there. I believe in that place. I believe what God is doing in Christian education and Bible college education. And here's a little bit about our campus. I'm going to show you a two-minute video in just a second about that. This is our brand-new recreation center, three basketball courts, indoor track, weight room, cardio, classroom, seven offices. We're very, very thankful for that building. Last year was our first year to use it. We're very, very thankful for that growth. And again, God is doing some great things at BBC. Let me just give my commercial, get out of the way, and we'll show you the video. And that is certainly, we would love to talk with you about what God is doing at BBC. And if you're interested in any of our programs, then on the back table, right back there, I just brought some literature. In fact, I sent it out to Phil ahead of time, some view books, some information about our programs. And let me just tell you about a couple of them real quick. Number one is if you are a high school student, especially if you're a homeschooler or Christian school or even public school, we have an amazing high school dual enroll program. Back there on the table, there are some cards that talk with you about that. It is possible. Let me just tell you a little bit about my world working with enrollment the last couple of years. The biggest conversation, right, that I have with parents and students about college is, my goodness, it costs so much money, right? And we have a couple of programs that we have been burdened to begin to help students with that. First of all, I believe with all my heart that God will provide for students to do His will. I believe that with all my heart. And we're looking for students that God wants there. But we have a high school dual enrollment where it's possible for high school students at a lot cheaper rate to get college credit for stuff they're already doing or could add a little bit to it in high school. Our high school dual enroll rate is $120 a credit hour. If you know anything about higher education, that is amazing. And we'll work with you on that. If you have young people in college or in high school, and it's possible to get at that rate almost 2 full years of college done before you ever show up on college campus. And another thing that BBC will do, because we want to build a relationship with students like that, is what we do with our high school dual enroll program is we scholarship every dollar of that money back to you so that your student then could use that money, spend it again for classes if they come to BBC. So if you're interested in that, then you could fill out a response card. We need to know a little bit about you or about your son or daughter. I will contact them personally and tell them about that program. So if you're interested in coming to BBC, that'd be great. God is doing some amazing things there. If you are interested, or your son or daughter or grandchild or whatever is interested in high school dual enroll, then please write that on the thing. And so I know who to put them in contact with. And that would be, honestly, that is an amazing program. And we're like 3-4 years in, and we're seeing students that come with a year plus of college education done before they ever show up. And that is a tremendous savings. And then one other thing that we just launched this year is a loan repayment assistant program. Most of our kids who graduate, right, most of our kids at Baptist Bible College go out into ministry. And we're very, very excited about that. And so what we offer now, our board of directors provides for this, they budgeted for this, is an insurance policy. If they graduate from BBC and have loans and don't make enough money to pay back those loans, then there is an insurance program that we offer called LRAP, Loan Repayment Assistance Program, which will help them do that. And so we are absolutely committed. I know a lot of Christian colleges are, to make it affordable. And those two things are what I wanted to tell you about today. And then also, we have a full online program. The program that's booming at our place is biblical counseling. And if you're interested in that, you can talk with us about that. Fill out one of those cards. Or if you know anybody that God might put a burden on your heart, you know, this, my son, my daughter, my grandchild, this person at our church or whatever would fit at BBC, I would love to talk with you about that. And if you would, please fill out the card so that I can be in touch with them and tell them a little bit firsthand about what God is doing at BBC. We are absolutely committed to finding students that want to major in making a difference. We are all about the harvest, all about eternity. And I know Faith, I love Faith, and other schools are around the country, certainly. And then while they're there, the things that they will get from BBC is they'll learn how to think biblically, to grow spiritually. Everything we do is about those things, and will help them serve faithfully over the long haul. And again, it's not my job here this weekend to give you a commercial, but I do believe in what God's doing at BBC and wanted to take an opportunity to tell you about that. 2-minute video. Can we show this? Hey, I think Let me just say, I think you'll be impressed by the video. We our video department got like a remote control helicopter thing. First of all, if you're from Iowa, the hills, the mountains, the tree, all of that at BBC, you'll be impressed by our campus. And also, I think the helicopter cam is cool. So I think you'll like it. Let me just show you the video. Cool video, huh? At least I'm impressed by the helicopter cam. So come see us sometime. If Peggy and I are around, we'd love to show you a little bit about what God's doing at BBC. Come visit us. We would love that. Please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy, I admit, 2 Timothy is my favorite book in the Bible, and I want to take a few moments this morning and talk with you about going on for God, living a purposeful life, going on for God, living a life of purpose. Peggy's theme this weekend at Renew Conference is on intentional living, and I certainly want to fit in with that. I believe that God wants us to live lives of purpose. I believe that God has designed each one of us to grow as believers closer in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's the rub. Tim has talked with you a lot about my burden, and if you were here for the workshop yesterday or even heard Peggy and I talk about this, this is certainly my life message and what I believe that God has called me to do is challenge people for this. But here's the rub, okay? The number one time, statistically, the number one time that people walk away from church and walk away from their relationship with God is immediately following high school graduation. That statistic is true in all kinds of different denominations, by the way. I'm a youth ministry guy. I believe in that. But the statistics say overwhelmingly that the kids who were once active in church, once who were active in Sunday school and youth group and all those kinds of things, when they're out on their own, number one time that they walk away from church and walk away from God is after they graduate from high school. I don't know about you, But I'm not okay with that. I want us to fight that. I want my children, I showed you my family, I showed you my children, my grandchildren. I pray for my grandchildren every single day. You know what I pray? That they grow up and go on for God. I've been praying for you this weekend. And my prayer for you is that you, all of us, will mature in our faith and go on for God. What I want to do is talk with you this morning about a young man in Scripture who did that, who grew up and went on for God. And so what I want to talk about is, what are some of the things in Timothy's life that he went through that God did in his life that helped that to happen? Certainly living for God is not a formula. Certainly it's not this bag of tricks, or it's not this recipe, do this, 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 and it equals that. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Praise God, right? That Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from our sins, that we can have a relationship with Almighty God. That's an amazing thing, through Jesus Christ. But it's a growth process. God wants us to grow. And I wrote the book. You can find that downstairs at the Faith Bookstore, Intergenerational Youth Ministry. Honestly, I don't know how you can be a success in life without my book. But I wrote the book, Intergenerational Youth Ministry. It's not a youth ministry book, but it's saying that the next generation is important. Tim talked about that in the church. Believe me, I travel. I'm in about 30 churches a year. There are a lot of dying churches out there. There are. And I want young people to grow up. That's the burden that I have for our fellowship. That's the burden that I have for this camp, for our churches, for my family, is that our kids grow up and go on for God. And that is my burden for you as well. And so I think there's some things here that we need to talk about that relate to that. And in the Bible, in 2 Timothy 3, my text this morning, just for a few minutes, and by the way, just so you know, and you're not worried about this, okay? Jill gave me permission to go a little longer this morning, okay? I just write that down, okay? Let me read the passage, 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 17. You know it well, but let me read it for you. 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 10 down through verse 17. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. Paul writes to Timothy, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions." Hard verse, but it's there. Verse 13, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But," verse 14, "you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom, from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the person of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's our text. I want to talk with you about three priorities in Paul's ministry to Timothy. And let's have a word of prayer first, and we'll look at those three priorities together. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for inspiration, that your word is God breathed. It's profitable. It's powerful. It's alive. It's active. Father, thank you for all those things. So this morning, God, we pray that you'd open our hearts to what you have for us. And God, you'd use your word in our hearts and our lives. Help us to be open. Help us to be receptive to what you want us to hear, you want us to learn, you want us to apply. God, I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the text, I highlighted it by the magic of Microsoft PowerPoint. In verse 12, I stopped reading it and talked about how that verse is almost like a kick in the teeth in the middle of this. Verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Ladies, let me just say, I'm not going to dwell on this, but let me just say, you understand, right, that day's coming? Look around, right? It will happen. The Bible is emphatic about that. I'm going to stop here just for a moment and say to you, we better, my heart, young people, youth ministry, we better as parents, we better as the church prepare our kids for that. It's going to happen. We better help our kids do whatever thing we can to help them learn how to stand up for God no matter what, right? That better be pretty important to us as churches. It better be pretty important to us as parents, as grandparents, and so on. But the first part of that verse talks about this. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. Can I ask you a rhetorical question, really? Which means, you know, don't respond, don't say anything. In your heart before God, do you desire to live godly? Do you desire for your kids, your grandkids, to grow up and live for God? I hope that in your heart there's a resounding amen, yes, to that question, right? Don't you? I showed you my family. My family's very important to me. More than anything else, I want them to grow up and live for God. I pray every day for my grandkids that they grow up and go on for God. I'm tired of the statistics that kids walk away. And I don't want that in my family. I don't want that for the young people that I know. I want my kids to grow up for God and go on for God. Personal heart this morning. Just shooting straight with you, ladies. Is that okay? Tim and I are the only guys in the room. I am afraid. I am. Last 40 years, I'm old, of my life, I have spent concentrating, specializing, if you will, on youth ministry and dealing with teenagers and parents. In the last couple of years, in charge of enrollment at Baptist Bible College in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. Can I tell you what I've observed? I've observed in my ministry that there's a lot more parents out there, even Christian parents, who are more worried about their kids being successful than they are about their kids being godly. I'm just shooting straight with you. Peggy and I talk about this. We pray about this a lot. Please understand my heart. I don't care if my kids have any money or not. I don't. My kids have gone through times of struggling. We help if we can. Lots of times we can't. I don't care if they got some fancy car or nice clothes. I care, certainly, if my grandkids are fed. They're doing okay, probably. You saw the pictures. But I care a lot if they go on for God. I don't care. Look at me. I'm a 6'6 high school college basketball player. I get athletics. I do. I don't care if my kids are great athletes. If God puts that on their heart, fine. But I don't want my kid, that's not my passion, that they grow up and be the best soccer player who ever lived or whatever. Most of them won't anyway, you understand that. I don't care if my kid grows up and is the president of some company to take care of me in my retirement. Now they better take care of me. But God can do a whole lot better at that anyway, right? But I do care if they grow up and go on for God. And I'm not kidding you, I'm very serious about this today, that breaks my heart. That Christian parents are a whole lot more concerned about their kids making money or be successful than being godly. I think it breaks God's heart too. And I think we've got to shatter that. This is a very personal passage, I think, for Paul and for Timothy. Paul is writing 2 Timothy. I know you know this. This is the last book, time-wise, chronologically. It's the last book that we have from the Apostle Paul, chronologically, that we have. He is writing 2 Timothy from a dungeon prison in Rome, probably a sewer pit. That's where he's writing it from. It's interesting to me that he didn't write 2 Timothy to a peer. He didn't write it to a church. He didn't write it to a scholar. He didn't write it to a fellow apostle. He didn't do any of that. He wrote it to a student, Timothy. His heart, at the end of his life, Paul understands. He writes in the next chapter, "The time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight." You know that passage. Paul is writing this, and in his heart, he's writing to a young man. And basically, Mel Walker's suggestion of the theme of 2 Timothy is this: Timothy, I want you to grow up and go on for God. So there's some things here. In this passage, 2 Timothy 3, 10 and down, it is some very personal things about Paul's relationship with his student, his disciple Timothy. And there's three priorities, if you will, that are here. I want to talk with you a little bit about priorities this morning. There's some people here that heard me speak in their camp days or youth group days, and so I wanted to weave in a couple of Mel Walker favorite stories this morning. It's like, can I tell you one about priorities? I grew up in a small town in northeastern Pennsylvania. Priorities. I grew up in a small town. It's the same town my dad grew up in. It's the same town my grandpa grew up in. That's the town I grew up in. We had one traffic light, and since I left, they now have a McDonald's. So they're moving on up. They really are. Small town, middle of nowhere, northeastern Pennsylvania. That was our town. The town also had one grocery store. My parents had this thing that we would always often walk to the store, which meant that we would walk to the grocery store in our town, just a few blocks. Of course, in my family, we've always been walkers. One night, my family, my mom, dad, my older brother, me, my younger brother, were walking to the store. Somewhere along the line, my little brother, he's 4 years younger than me, my little brother found a white canvas bag that had a clasp thing on top of it and black lettering on the side. You know how little boys are? My little brother started playing football with his white canvas bag, writing on the side, black writing, a clasp thing on top of it. My brother is throwing himself imaginary touchdowns. He is spiking it in the end zone. He's kicking field goals, playing soccer, trying to score goals. White canvas bag, black lettering on the side, clasp on top. We went a few blocks, and none of us really paid attention. And then my dad said, what do you have there? And he looked at this bag, white canvas bag, black lettering on the side, clasp on the top. And the lettering on the side was actually the name of the bank in our town. We opened up the bag. My dad opened up the bag, and the bag is filled with money. Small bills, big stack of money, and the deposit slip from the grocery store. What had happened, we found out later, the manager was on his way to the bank in our town and put it on the top of his car. You've seen people do that at McDonald's. Drove off. The bag fell off after a couple blocks. My brother picked it up. All of a sudden, my dad is very protective of the bag. My little brother isn't throwing touchdowns anymore. And my parents, knowing that it's a teachable moment, said to my brother, "What do you think we should do?" My brother right away said, "We need to take it back." We went to the grocery store. My brother, now little guy, is holding the bag, and he goes into that little office. You know how those old grocery stores are, right? The aisles here, off to the side, there's an office that's like up a little bit. Like the manager is the king of the grocery store. He's up, I always kind of wondered about that. And so my brother, little guy, stands there with a bag. Finally, the manager sees the bag. You could see the wheels turning in his mind, and freaks, goes all the way around, comes out the door, comes down, realizes that he is the one that dropped the money, and right then, he's so excited to get his money back. Right then, he gets on the microphone in the store and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, could I have your attention?" He's on the PA system in the store. I mean, who knew there was that? And like both customers stopped, And he's like, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have a hero here." He brought back the money. He told him the story. He's on the intercom. And he said right there, none of us knew this was going to happen, but he said, "I'll tell you what, for him bringing back the money," he said, "I'll give him a shopping spree." And I forget now if it was 1 minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever, but the guy, no kidding, back there in the store, he had a stopwatch. Who knew they had all that stuff? And he gives my brother this cart, and the guy's there with a stopwatch, he's on the microphone, and my little brother's there with a cart, And he said, there's one rule. Your mom and dad can't go, and your big brothers can't go, but you can go get anything you want. Ready, set, go. And I forget if it's 1 minute, 5 minutes, or whatever. And my brother is off like a shot. And again, if it was 1 minute or 5 minutes or whatever, my brother is back long before the time is up. He's back long before the time is up with his cart filled with candy. My mother cried. I think she was whimpering. Meat, I think. My older brother and I were ticked because it wasn't even cool candy. He went to one spot in the store, found one kind of hard candy that the last time he was in the store, he wanted that. My parents wouldn't let him have it, but he got every bag he could of that candy, put it in the cart, and came back and had this big, he was, you know, happy as a lark. I mean, he was so excited, and the rest of us were mad at him, you know. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious or anything like that. But ever since then, I've looked at that illustration, and I've realized our lives are a lot like that. God has given us a cart, if you will. God has given us a cart, and we go through life, and we go through our family lives, and there's choices that we can make of what to put in our cart, right? The illustration makes sense, right? What we put into our cart. The priorities are the things that we choose to put in our cart, that we choose to say, these are things I'm going to give my life to. And in this passage, quickly, there are three priorities that I want to emphasize for your, my life personally, but also for the next generation. The first one, I think that Paul understood here, if you want kids to grow up to live godly, notice what it says there. You've carefully followed. I love that phrase. You've carefully followed. And then he goes on to say, my doctrine, manner of life. Number one is I think a first priority is godly mentors. I talked to you a little bit about this yesterday. Godly mentors. I believe in mentoring with my whole life. We're going to talk about some other things, but look at the verses. You must continue in the things that you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. Drop down a little bit, and he's talking about that Paul had that ministry. Timothy traveled with him on the second missions trip ever. One of the things I love about Acts especially is, you know, the first two missions trips ever, students went along on the trip. John Mark in Acts 12 and Acts 13, and then Timothy in Acts 15. And Timothy went along. He was a student. He was a follower of Paul, and he understood that. And I thank God for people, godly people in the church who can serve as mentors. And Timothy certainly had that. One of the things I mentioned yesterday afternoon in my workshop about mentoring, and if you weren't here, honestly, you need to get the tape. I'm just kidding. I believe in that with all my heart. But here's what I said, that you either need to be a mentor or find a mentor in the church. And Timothy had that in his life. If you were to look back at Timothy's life, then you'll realize that his life was lined with people who loved God and took a part in his life. And Timothy certainly had that. And Paul had that ministry. If anything that we can do to encourage the next generation to grow up and go on for God, godly mentors. And if you can, whatever you can, use your influence in your church to build those mentors into your lives, in the lives of your kids. I showed you my family. It's not a formula. I'm not telling you that Peggy and I have this nailed, this family business. It's not. It's a journey for us. It's interesting, as our kids get older, you don't quit being a parent, right? You still understand that, right? But I thank God, all three of our kids are in vocational ministry. It's not a formula. It's not something that I care more about. They live for God and let God call them to do that. But I'm very, very thankful for that. But all three of my kids would look back at their lives and say that they thank God for other adults who took an interest in their lives. And I got to tell you, Peggy and I would say that as well. We thank God for youth pastors and Sunday school teachers and laymen that took an interest in our kids and cared about Christy Todd and Travis Walker. And I'm very, very thankful that our churches, that we've been in over the years were people like that for my kids. I believe in that concept of mentoring, and Timothy certainly had that in his life, and this passage talks about that. There's another thing, I think, about mentoring that I think we need to understand quickly about this. And if you'll drop down a few verses, I read it, and I have this outline, the verses there for you, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Before we leave this, and we're going to come back to this too, but one of the things that Timothy also had in his life, at least from his mom and his grandma, we're going to come back and talk about that, the verses on your notes, but a godly influence of a mom and a grandma in his life too. And so you realize that the adults who were part of Timothy's life, Paul and other people, and including his mom, provided that godly example. And I mentioned this yesterday. I love visual aids, the video, all of that kind of stuff. But you know what our kids need more than anything else? They need to see the reality of Jesus Christ in your life. Is your life genuine before God? That's what's going to resonate with the next generation. Do you believe this stuff? And does it show up in your life? Godly mentors. Number two. And so let me just get back to the cart thing. A priority, an intentional priority in your life, honestly, in your life, in the lives of your children or young people in your church. Build godly mentors into your life. It's more important than we could ever imagine. Does that make sense? Number two. The second intentional priority I think that Paul talks about here are balanced life experiences. Balanced life experiences. It starts, you have carefully followed, intentional. You have carefully followed the directions, imitated, carefully followed my doctrine. But he also says my manner of life. And then he talks about things like purpose, faith, long-suffering, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, verse 11, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. Timothy remembered all of those things because he was, if you will, along for the ride. He was there. He understood. They went through life together. One of the great things that I think this passage points out, the big picture of this passage, is that God's word relates to life. And I think that's a very important message. I think that's one of the most important things that from Scripture, it's not just the rote learning. I mean, we could stop at doctrine. Okay, the systematic teaching of Scripture. I get that. The theology, that's critically important. And my goodness, critically important. We better raise a generation of students that know what they believe so that they can go to the university or they can go to military or they can go to a Bible college and stand up for God because of what they know what they believe. I'm going to talk to you about that in the workshop this afternoon. And so those things are important, but it doesn't stop at doctrine. It goes on and talks about life, that they went through life, and there was even things like persecutions, afflictions. And it's out of that that Paul writes, yes, and all who live godly will suffer persecutions. I think there's a characteristic in culture today that somehow we've adopted that says what we ought to do as parents is keep our kids out of problems. You know, we need to protect our kids. You ever heard the phrase helicopter parents? You have, right? Parents that hover over their kids. You know, Verizon cell phone company, Verizon cell phone said that the average college freshman either texts or calls their parents 11 times a day. Their parents? I mean, when my dad dropped me off at BBC, I know it's years ago, but my dad is like, get out of the car. Honestly, he didn't come up to my room. He didn't help me carry my stuff. My dad was like, get out. And then he changed his phone number. They did move while I was in college, but I finally found them. And that's not the culture today, parents, right? We hover over our kids. We don't want them. We don't want them hurting. We don't want them poor. We don't want, and they may fail to learn the lessons that God has from them. I think Paul understood that a priority you put in your cart is life, and that God's word relates to life. I say that because when it gets to verse 16 and 17, the most familiar verses in the whole book of 2 Timothy, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's beneficial for what? Doctrine, the systematic teaching of the word of God, but also reproof. That's life sometimes. Do you ever have somebody give you reproof? Do you ever have somebody, you are wrong? That's hard. But when God does it, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, it's pretty important for our kids to understand that God's word is profitable for reproof. It convicts us of sin, keeps us on, because in life we get off the path. Doctrine, reproof, correction, how to get back on the path, how to fix the problem, and then instructions, the step-by-step instructions of how to live the Christian life, going through life. All of those things are critically important for our children. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, in right living, that the person of God might be mature, grown up, that they might go on and live for God, balanced life experiences. Let your kids go through some things. Help them to see any way that they can that God's hand is on their lives and that God's word relates to their lives today. Number three, life-related scriptures. Probably the main emphasis of this whole passage, and that's why we're going to end here, is on the Word of God. Paul writes, you have carefully followed. This is where he starts. You have carefully followed. You have followed the directions. You have imitated, number one, doctrine, the systematic teaching of the Word of God. I'm afraid, Tim, I'm in a lot of churches. I'm afraid that a lot of church ministries, to be real honest with you, have become fluff, have become entertainment. We're making a mistake. We're not going to beat the world that way anyway. The world can always beat us. One of the things that we need to do is get God's word into our hearts, into our lives, and into the minds and the hearts of our kids. Drop down to another verse, verse 15, and from childhood, let me stop there. That word is infant. That word is infant. From infancy, you have learned the holy scriptures. My goodness, how important is that? From infancy, one of the things that Timothy's parents did right is they taught Timothy the word of God from infancy. My parents are both in heaven now. My dad never finished high school because of World War II, and my parents were simple people and not ministry people at all. My dad, for his career, delivered stuff for Sears. But one of the things that my parents did right, they did, was make sure that their sons learned and memorized God's word. My parents were passionate about that, and we grew up. They signed us up for like BMA, Bible Memory Association, not a church thing. Jim and Louise Walker thing, and the boys are going to do that, and we did that. I travel, and I'm in a lot of churches. Ladies, can I look you right in the eyeball for a couple minutes and tell you about an observation? I'm in a lot of churches every year. I have an opportunity to get out. Went to getting ready for my book. I went, which, of course, you need to read. Went to 90 different churches of all sizes, you know, and I'm in churches and they have Awana programs, right, or little kids programs. Because of my interest, because of my background, I always ask churches, why do you have those programs, little kids programs? Number one answer is we want our children, I'm looking you right in the eye, I'm trying to be kind, but I'm being very serious, right? Why do you have that program? Because we want our children to memorize scripture. Praise God, right? And then I'll look at the church and realize they never ask teenagers to memorize scripture and they never ask adults to memorize scripture. I don't know about you. That seems pretty hypocritical to me. That we're going to tell our kids to do something that we're not willing to do. I'm in youth groups all over the country. I've done this a lot of years. I'm in youth groups, and on the back table, there's all these devotional guides. We want our kids to have devotions. We tell our teenagers here at camp, we want our kids to have daily devotions, daily time in the Word of God. When was the last time we ever talked to adults about having daily devotions? time in God's Word. Is that hypocritical to you? See, you talk about the Scriptures, it better come home to life, life-related. It better come back to that. One of the things that Timothy's mom did right is taught Timothy from infancy the Word of God. I love that Deuteronomy 6 passage. You know it. You can look it up. The first few verses, that God's Word permeates life. It's everywhere in life. And really, that's what a Christian home ought to be, is that everywhere in life, our kids see the Scriptures and realize that God's Word relates to life today, that they grow up knowing what they believe, and they know up growing the Scriptures. And then verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, beneficial, applicable to life. One of the things that was very, very important to Peggy and I is that we help teach our kids the Word of God, and that we help them see that God's Word relates to life. It was my 50th birthday when Christy left for Germany. My little girl. If you were here for the workshop, you heard me talk about Christy, right? First girl in my family, Walker family, in five generations. Ladies, my little girl means a lot to me. She's a single missionary in Berlin, Germany. Before she left to Germany, Peggy and I didn't even have our passports. You got to understand. My daughter's important to me. She's my little girl. Every time I go there and go to her church, I thank her church. Thank you for taking care of my little girl. She's important to me. Christy is leaving for Germany. And as the day wore on, if you fly from the East Coast, you leave at night. She can fly all night and get to Europe. And as the day went on, she's getting antsier and antsier. But it's my birthday. And finally, Christy, oldest daughter, I am convinced that oldest daughters can rule the world. And finally, Christy said, "Dad, I could tell." And she was bothered that my birthday present didn't come. And so she said, "You know, Dad, I got you this present, but it hasn't come." Also, come to find out that she got on the phone. I mean, this is 10 years ago. She got on the phone and talked to a supervisor from UPS, found out that this thing was lost. Oldest daughters can rule the world, and convinced a UPS supervisor that the most important thing in the world that person could do is leave Philadelphia Airport and drive to Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, to give her dad his present. And the supervisor did it. Oldest daughters can rule the world. The present came before Christy left for Germany. And here's the thing. My kids wrote a book for me. The camp here this summer with the staff, after all those years, used that book this summer. I sent Phil 100 of them or whatever it is. And when my kids were little, one of the things that we did to teach our kids was we taught our kids and had our kids memorize 31 verses that use the word in the New Testament, all or every or always. Do all to the glory of God. Prove all things. Let all things be done unto edifying. There's 31 of them. My kids took those principles. I think Christy, Todd, and Travis, they're all in their 30s. I think they could come here and they could still have all of them. And they wrote a book for me. The kids wrote a 31-day devotional. I'm not here to sell stuff. I brought a few of them if you're interested, or you can contact me about it. But it's a devotional for teenagers and how to live by the principles of God's Word. It was my point as a parent that if our kids knew what God said to do all the time, do all to the glory of God, prove all things. Of course, the first one is children, obey your parents in all things. That's pretty important, right? And so the kids knew that was important to Dad, and they wrote me that book, and that was, 10 years ago. It needs to be revised and all of those kinds of things. But that's how personal it is for me. That our kids grow up knowing that God's Word relates to life today, because it does. Now, I'm almost done, but I got to show you one other verse, and then I am done. It's at the top of your notes, by the way, but I'm going to talk about it at the bottom. And that is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. If you underline your in your Bible, do that, circle it, get out your pink fluorescent marker. But here it is. In Paul writing about Timothy, Paul, writing about Timothy from this dungeon prison, he says this: when I call to remembrance, when I remember you, he writes, he says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, I'm absolutely convinced that that's in you too. Now, ladies, I know you know this verse. We often break that verse out. You know, that's a Mother's Day message and all of that, right? We get it. And I love the intergenerational connections there. I love that, the heritage down the line. But ladies, look at the board. Look at the Bibles. That's not the focus of the verse. Was I just yelling? Good. The focus is Timothy. Look at the verse. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Two times, down at the bottom. I am persuaded. I am absolutely convinced. It is in you. In other words, here's a young man that grew up in a Christian home, grew up even a little bit of a dysfunctional home. Read Acts 16. And yet here was a young man who grew up and went on for God. The genuine faith. I love the King James, the unfeigned, the unfaked, genuine faith. That's the faith that Timothy had. Ladies, isn't that what we want from our kids? That they go up, that they grow up and their faith is real, it's genuine, it's unshakable. They can take on the secular garbage because they know what they believe in. The genuine faith, it's in your life. That's what Timothy had. Yeah, praise God for the influences, all of those kinds of things. But that genuine, that real faith. So my passion, which I'm yelling at you to tell you, is that our faith is real. And it's intentional because we want our kids to grow up to have that real faith too. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is inspired, and it's practical, it's profitable. And God, I pray that you'd help us, every one of us, help our children to grow up and go on for God. In Jesus' name we pray.